Because the reality is, when we look at our lives as fallen people, grace is one of the greatest things that we have got to be able to receive. But I'm going to tell you right now, grace isn't the virtue. You know, I have to laugh because Nancy and Tina made a whole bunch of cookies up there, and they put every virtue on those cookies that they could because they figured we got to have it somewhere in there. And I loved it. I loved it because it made you think. And I want you to think because God wants us to think. He wants us to act with him, and he wants to call us into a relationship with him. And that relationship starts with love. And then that relationship turns to faith, and then that relationship becomes a hope. And we need to understand that God says faith, hope, and love. Because the first thing that happens generally in a person's life, it's not a love relationship. Faith comes because we find ourselves in a place where we're down, don't we? We find ourselves at a place where we've got nowhere else to go but up, and we have to look up, and it's through faith that we accept Jesus Christ. He gives us a hope, and then all of a sudden, we begin to understand that there's a love relationship there. Isn't that right, Mitch? It's something that has to be worked out. But there's something here. There is one virtue that is very hard for us as human beings, and without it, I dare say, none of us will ever see heaven. And it's so true, and I hope we all grasp it. So to that avail, I would love for you all to turn to Colossians in the third chapter. Colossians in the third chapter. We're going to begin in chapter 3. Verse 12. We're going to begin in chapter 3, verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 12, from the book of Colossians. We're going to carry here from verse 12 through verse 17. So if you're out there on the internet, you can grab your Bible and turn there. We'll wait for you too until pages have stopped flipping here. And I think we're ready. So let us begin from the 12th verse of the book of Colossians in the third chapter. We read these words as God has given them to us. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen. And amen. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. So as we look here at Colossians in the third chapter, verses 12 through 17, which virtue jumps out at you? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Long-suffering. Compassion. Kindness. Trust, patience. So you have no idea. They're all in there. It's pregu. It's in there. All right? The toughest, most difficult virtue for humankind is true forgiveness. True forgiveness. And today we're going to look at why is forgiveness so hard for us. And I want us to come to an understanding about forgiveness. What does forgiveness do? You know, when we think about forgiving someone, you know, it's easy to forgive somebody, isn't it? It's easy to forgive somebody. They're just words. Oh, I forgive you. And then we just act like it never happened, right? No, because we remember. You see, God says that he will remember our sins no more. That's how forgiveness works with God, that he will remember it no more. How many of you outside of Alzheimer's can forget the bad things that happened to us in life? I think it's funny because we will forget the good things unless somebody brings them up. And then, oh, yeah, that's right, I remember that. But if I quizzed you, name the top 10 bad things that have happened to you in this past week, how many of us could fill out 20? Okay? But if I said to you, name the top 10 positive things that have happened to you, we would have a hard time getting past number 3 or 4. That's the way sin has tainted us in this world. And it is the way our hearts are tainted because sin still resides in this flesh. We need to remember, if we're in Christ, we're a new creation. Can I get an amen? But unfortunately, this new creation has some old habits, amen? And they're hard to get rid of. You know, we're told that to break a habit, you have to practice something for at least 30 days. So after 30 days, I can quit doing it, right? No. You have to purposely work at it for 30 days, and then after that, you don't have to work at it quite as hard. It'll take a lifetime to make good habits. Can I get an amen? You know, I think about that. How many of you have raised up children? Okay? How many of you have adult children now that still have some of the same bad habits they had when they were little kids? You've been working on them all your life. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing with forgiveness, is working on it all our lives. Because we can't forget. God, who is omnipotent, omniscient, you know, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, can also be all-forgetting. No, all-not-remembering. God cannot forget anything. He says, I'll remember it no more. He makes a conscious choice not to think on it, as if it is gone. He says, I shall blot it out. Okay? In Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, in chapter, I thought I wrote that down, and I didn't, because it so amazed me. In Isaiah, I think it's 44:22. Somebody look that up. Isaiah 44:22. In Isaiah 44:22, I believe it says that like a cloud, he shall blot it out. Okay? In other words, if a cloud disappears, Mitch, does it exist anymore? No, it's gone. Okay, and that's exactly what God does. Like a mist, okay? How many of us saw the fog this morning? It was real, wasn't it? But in time, as things heat up and the temperature changes, the fog does what? It dissipates and it's gone. And that's what God does with our sin when we ask for forgiveness. When we repent, it fades away to him. It no longer exists. That is forgiveness. But unfortunately, we as human beings can't get ourselves there because we have this thing called a brain and it locks in on the negative. And we need to get beyond that. Because I want us to look at three of the aspects of forgiveness that we have to understand. The first of which is forgiveness must be complete. Forgiveness must be complete. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 32 through 5:1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 through 5:2, excuse me. It's only three verses. It's only three little verses there. It's just back a couple of pages from our Colossians scripture where we began. Understanding that all those virtues that God gave us, there are virtues that we're supposed to have. And I think it's so amazing because he says, and these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And it's so amazing to me because all the other virtues are wrapped up in faith, hope, and love. Love brings them to a complete unity. That's what that scripture in Colossians just said. So when we truly have faith and we truly have hope and we truly have love, we have all the virtues in us, but we have to practice them. And through love, we will find the strength to make forgiveness work. Here's what he says from verse 32 through 5:2. It says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgive each other, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Do you understand what that implies to you when you forgive someone completely and totally? When Jesus hung on the cross, did he say, I'm going to pay your price, but now you owe me? No, it was a free gift, completely and totally free, because he loved us so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but might have eternal life. Jesus said, I'm paying the price, and you don't even have to ask me to do it. My Father did, and I love him so much, I'm paying the price for you. You know, how many of you have ever gone out to dinner and had somebody else pay your bill? You know, there was a thing that went around here a little while ago at McDonald's where the person in front would pay for the person behind, okay? And the story, and this really did happen, and the story goes that the one guy did it, and he thought so much of it that he paid for the next guy behind him. And then the third person did it, and the fourth person did it, and the fifth person gets up there, and they ordered like milkshake. Okay? And they said, well, that was so awesome. I want to pay for the people behind me. And the lady looks at him and says, it's a school bus. Are we willing in love to go to that extent? Because that's what forgiveness means. No matter what it is, we let it go. I've had people say to me before, and this is one of the things that we need to understand, is that it has to be complete. God forgives us completely, totally. It's not remembered anymore. And I have had people in Christianity, in my church, right here amongst me, you know who I'm talking about, have said, oh yeah, I've forgiven them, but I don't respect them anymore. Whoa, you haven't forgiven anybody. If that's where you are, you have not forgiven. That's not forgiveness. I don't know what you call that. You're lying to yourself and you're lying to God. And it's no wonder things are not moving forward for you in your life. Because God says, my forgiveness is complete. And if you don't forgive completely, can God forgive us completely? Absolutely not. We just prayed it a little bit ago. And we're going to look at that because I want us to understand, and that's in the next point that we're going to look at it, because God wants us to receive a blessing. Like I said, that's the next point. But for this one, to finish this point, I want us to go to Romans chapter 12. I want you to go to Romans chapter 12. And for those of you joining us out there on the internet this morning, God bless you and welcome. You're going to find that if you stick around, you're going to learn your Bible if you're going to be with us, because we definitely use the scripture. There are no other words that bring us to life than the words of God himself. No man has the word, but God himself is the word. For in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word is God. Amen. To his glory, amen. From the 14th verse, in Romans 12, from the 14th verse in Romans 12, we are told this, and this is what I mean by it has to be complete. He says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When we hold on to the past, when we hold on to something and we say, oh yeah, I forgave that person, but we don't stop remembering it, we keep hanging on to it, we keep coming back to it, it is a poison to us, to you and me, to ourselves. And that poison will lead to poisoning others. And that is something we're also going to look at. You see, forgiveness is a very deep subject. And forgiveness is one of the toughest things that we're going to deal with because we are so tainted with sin. Remember, the whole reason sin exists is because Satan himself cannot forgive. I want you to think about that. Satan messed up. Amen? And because he messed up, he will not forgive God, and therefore we are in his crosshairs because we are God's most prized possession, and he thought it was himself because he was the greatest angel in all of heaven. And his pride has been his fall. And his unforgiveness, his unregenerativeness, has poisoned us and our world. And we carry it along. But in Christ Jesus, we sang the song, Amazing Grace, my chains are gone. Christ has broken those chains and we have been set free that we can forgive and truly let it go. But that means we have to be the bigger person, don't we? That means I have to be willing to get hurt again. But you know what? How many of us have sinned this week? How many of us are going to sin next week? How many of us know Jesus paid the price for all my sin? And we need to understand that's the same place we need to be. We just read it. We are to forgive as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven us. In other words, how many of us out there know that our brothers and sisters, somewhere along the line, Pastor Rich is going to let you down? Can I get an amen? Are you still going to love me? I hope so, because I'll guarantee you I'm going to love you. I'm telling you, we're all sheep, and we all roll in the poop. It's just the way it is until God changes us and cleans us up. And once we're cleaned up, we don't ever have to worry about messing it again. But that's not going to happen on this side of the grave. That's only going to happen on the other side of the grave. But that does not give us license to continue to do these things. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because if you truly want to be set free, if you truly want to understand the virtues of God and experience true faith, true hope, and true love, we have got to forgive as Christ forgave us. That's God's word. And that's one of the things I want us to understand, because if we're able to forgive completely, this is our second point, Forgiveness equals blessing. Forgiveness equals blessing. I want you to turn to Matthew 6 and 14. Matthew 6 and 14. Many of you already know what that scripture is. Matthew 6 and 14. It's actually 14 and 15. Because we say the Lord's Prayer every week. Okay? You all know it. We all say the Lord's Prayer every week. But this is the end of the Lord's Prayer. This is the part that we all cut out. Okay? And this is the part that I want us to understand, because from this we need to understand there are two things. There are always cursing and blessing. When Moses stood with people on Mount Ebal and Mount, can't remember the other mountain. They spoke cursing on the one, what was the other mountain, Mary? I don't think it was Zion, because Zion's Jerusalem. Sinai. No, it wasn't Sinai. I can't remember what they were. And you may be right there too. You know, I'm a Bible teacher, not a geologist. So they spoke cursing on the one mountain, Mount Ebal, and Mount, oh my heavens, that's terrible. It was just there. They spoke cursings on the one mountain, blessings on the other mountain. And we need to understand, we're either going to be cursed or we're going to be blessed. From verses 14 and 15, it says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." Okay? Keep that in mind and turn back to the book of Mark. Just go back a couple of pages to the book of Mark. In chapter 11, because I want you to keep a finger there, because I want you to look at that, and then we need to correlate some scripture, because I want us to understand what's the depth of this thing, what's the width of this thing, what's the breadth of this thing. If you're in the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 22 through 25, the Lord says this to us, okay? Actually, through 26. I want to do 22 through 26. "And Jesus answered, saying to them, 'Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions." What is that scripture telling us? Jesus correlates blessing with the curse. If you want to receive blessing, you have to be a blessing. If you cannot be a blessing, you will not receive a blessing. It's that simple. If we cannot forgive totally, God cannot do anything for us. Because he can't forgive us. And if God cannot forgive us our sins, can we stand with him? No. We are outside of him. So folks, how many of us need to go talk to some people today? How many of us need to get some relationships right? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to take time in your heart. But God says, guess what? That's what I've given you, time. You see, we get time. God's eternal, but we get time. And he wants us to work on it. And I pray that you will allow God to work on you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, this is as true as it gets. You know, as a pastor, I've had people come against me, do things against me. And when I see them, it's so amazing, because I truly have forgiven them. It has hurt, but I forget. They're fallen people. I have to remember what God has forgiven me for. I wasn't a pastor always. And I know what I did, because my sin is not against other people. My sin truly is against God. All sin is against God. And if God can forgive me, then I need to forgive too. And I'll be amazed, you know, I'll meet people out in the street who've done something to me, right? And I'll smile and wave at them because I'd like to talk to them and see where they are, see what God's doing in their lives, how are they doing. And as soon as they see me, the look of fear comes over their faces and dread. And the next thing you know, they're taking the first aisle that they can get down. You know, they may be going for baking soda and they'll head down the cat food aisle. Because they want to get away. Man, I want you to get it right. I'm screwed up. And I thank God every day for the forgiveness I receive. And I'm going to tell you right now, if I have to sit here and hang on all the negative stuff, and we aren't going anywhere as a church. My life's not going anywhere as an individual. I've got too much to worry about if I have to worry about everything everybody's ever done to me and whether you get to succeed or not. I'm going to be so worried and so frettered and so pulled down, I'm not going to be any good to myself, let alone anybody else. And we wonder why we get so negative. And we wonder why people don't want to be around us because, well, I don't understand it. All I said was. I'll tell you right now, you catch more flies with honey than you will vinegar. Amen? I mean, we're all Pennsylvania Dutch. We understand that, right? And God didn't catch us because he remembered our sin. God caught us because his love remembered it no more. And we need to do the same thing for those who've hurt us because we're the ones who are getting the frowns and the worry lines because we can't let go. Let's let go. Because when we let go, we truly find freedom. That's our third point for today. Our third point is forgiveness equals freedom. And I think that is so wonderful. Forgiveness equals freedom. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says that we're not to allow a bitter root to grow up because it will defile many. And in Ephesians 4 and 27, it says, do not give the devil a foothold. We need to understand that the freedom that I'm speaking about here truly sets us to the point where we are set free. The devil cannot take a hold of us and no bitter root can grow up. And as we live that life, we are truly free from all the things that fetter. Satan has put those things in our lives. He's put that bitterness into us. He has put that envious thoughts into us, and we need to rid ourselves of it. And when we truly begin to forgive others, we can truly begin to forgive who? Ourselves. I can remember when I first started having the Spirit of God woo me, to draw me to him. I would say things like, well, you know, I just got a couple of things I got to clean up before I come. You know, Lord, just let me work on this. And if I get that figured out and get that straightened out, you know, then I'll come, you know. But I got to take care of this. And Jesus said, wait a minute, dude. It's finished. You don't have any more to do. But unforgiveness in me says, no, there's so much more. There's so much more. There's so much more. Because that bitter root still exists. Because the foothold of Satan is still there. But when the love of Christ comes, he washes it away. Remember, he's the gardener. And he says to the father, he says, Father, this tree isn't producing any fruit. Don't cut it down yet. Let me dig around the roots. Let me fertilize it. Let me take care of it for a year and come back. And if it doesn't do anything next year, then you can take the tree down. You see, that's the forgiveness of Jesus working in our lives. He's in there tilling it to soil. He's in there putting that fertilizer of love in there. He's given us the hope. He's given us the faith. And I'll guarantee you, when you start experiencing those things through the forgiveness of God, you will be changed and fruit will be growing on that tree the next time the Lord and Savior looks at it. We need to understand that we've got some bitter roots that need to be taken out. When I moved into Lebanon, we bought this beautiful home. It was in February. So everything was dead, dormant, not dead, right? It's not dead, it's dormant. But in our lives, we have dead things. Those dead things grow. Come spring, that first year, I couldn't wait because I had no idea. I have a green thumb. I love to plant things, okay? I love to grow things. And so we moved into this house, and, you know, I had no idea what was in the yard. I had no idea what was planted there. So I get there, and in the spring, things start coming up. And the next thing I know, I've got the most horrible infection of ivy that I've ever seen. And I mean to tell you, that stuff was growing everywhere. The morning glories. Do you know what morning glories are? Oh, they're beautiful little flowers. They're white and they're blue and they're pink. But when they become an infestation, they ain't pretty no more. They were growing on everything. It took me 3 years to get that bitter root out of there. You and I may take some time to get that bitter root out because it's going to lay dormant for a time. And something's going to trigger and we'll remember it again. Can I get an amen? And as soon as it does, remember, it's not a sin if it's a thought. It's what you do with it that counts. And when it comes up, we need to take the axe of the word and apply it to it and chop it out now. And don't let it have power and authority over us. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we will be disappointed by people in this world. But we have the greatest appointment of all. And that is the appointment of Christ in our lives. That we have the power and the wherewithal to forgive others as Christ Jesus has forgiven us. And when we have that, we have freedom. Remember, if you harbor unforgiveness towards someone in your life, guess who controls you? That other person. As a Christian, who controls us? Jesus Christ. And he says, from the cross of Calvary, it is finished. Would you pray with me this day? Glorious God, our Father, we've looked at four virtues. Faith, hope, love, and forgiveness. Father, I pray that as we move from this day forward into our season of Lent, which begins on Wednesday, that you will move in our hearts to truly forgive everyone in our lives, whatever the harm may have been, that we may truly experience the fullness of faith, the fullness of hope, and the fullest expression of love. And that we may be that to everyone, because that's who you are to us. Father God, we thank you that you would use sinners such as we, who are a work in progress, that we would accomplish your tasks, Lord. Send us forth, as flawed as we are, but Lord, help us to be changing from glory to ever-increasing glory as we work out these four virtues in our lives. Help us, Lord, to understand we are not perfect, but we are forgiven in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our closing hymn today. I just couldn't help but pick this hymn, understanding what I'm talking about today. Because without God's faithfulness, we would have no hope, wouldn't we? Great is thy faithfulness. And so today, as we close, let us remember that his faithfulness to us was given before any of us were ever even brought into existence. Because the scripture says,
you have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.